So we're reading from Canto 3, chapter number 26, and verses number 30. The chapter is entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Samsayata viparyaso nischaya smriti eva cha svapa ityuchyate buddhir lakshanam vittita pritak. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Doubt, misapprehension, correct apprehension, memory, and sleep, as determined by their different functions, are said to be the distinct characteristics of intelligence. Purport. Doubt is one of the most important functions of intelligence. Blind acceptance of something does not give evidence of intelligence. Therefore, the word samsaya is very important. In order to cultivate intelligence, one should be doubtful in the beginning. But doubting is not very favorable when information is received from the proper source. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that doubting the words of the authority is the cause of destruction. As described in the Patanjali Yoga system, pranama vipayarya vikalpa nidrasam smritayaha. By intelligence only, one can understand things as they are. By intelligence only, one can understand whether or not he is the body. The study to determine whether one's identity is spiritual or material begins in doubt. When one is able to analyze his actual position, the false identification with the body is detected. This is called viparyasa. When false identification is detected, then real identification can be understood. Real understanding is described here as nischaya, or proved experimental knowledge. This experimental knowledge can be achieved when one has understood the false knowledge. By experimental or proved knowledge, one can understand that he is not the body, but spirit soul. Smriti means memory, and svapa means sleep. Sleep is also necessary to keep the intelligence in working order. If there is no sleep, the brain cannot work nicely. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is especially mentioned that persons who regulate eating, sleeping, and other necessities in the body in the proper proportion become very successful in a yoga process. These are some of the aspects of the analytic study of intelligence, as described in both the Patanjali Yoga system and the Sankhya philosophical system of Kapiladeva in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this chapter is describing the fundamental principles of material nature in very intricate and very detailed ways, describing the different aspects of the gross and subtle body. This section deals with the subtle body, the false ego, the mind, and here we're dealing with the intelligence. Intelligence is one of the features of the subtle body. And intelligence here is described as having certain functions. The ability to doubt is a facility or feature of the intelligence. And Prabhupada gives a very interesting statement that doubt is important. Blind acceptance of something is not really intelligence. That one should question what one hears, but then, of course, ultimately, as Prabhupada says, one should use the intelligence to understand ultimately what is the proper conclusion. And by understanding what is the proper conclusion, that is the use of intelligence. So here, Prabhupada also says that information received from the proper source should not be doubted. But still, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we don't doubt, but we question. It's Krishna explains, or actually in Srimad Bhagavatam explains, that for the devotee who asks his relevant questions, the devotee who who wants to clarify, what is that verse? I know the verse, but I can't think of the translation. It's 1:17 in Bhagavatam. Who knows that verse? That's also there, yeah. That's in that same section. But the, what is it? The sincere devotee who asks his questions, Krishna purifies their heart from within by the process of submissive inquiry into the absolute truth. So one should ask questions when there is a doubt. If everything is clear, and it's like the sky is clear, the sun is out, when everything is clear, then you can see the sun. But if things are not clear, and many things in the philosophical understanding of the absolute truth need to be explained. In fact, that is the nature of our process, to explain things in detail from all angles of vision to get a clear understanding of how the principles can be applied in different ways. So to ask questions is important for clarification and for application also. Not only for clarification, but how to apply the principles in our day-to-day work. So one should not accept everything blindly, but one should accept things because they're coming to from authority, but at the same time one should get a clear understanding of how things are should be understood properly. So correct apprehension and misapprehension are both functions of the intelligent. Memory also is the function of intelligence. And Prabhupada also says sleep. It's interesting the word sleep is here. If there's not enough sleep, Prabhupada says no sleep here. But even if there's not enough sleep, the intelligence cannot work at its best. Sometimes people are not getting enough sleep, but they remember the big things, but they forget the little things. Have you ever had that experience? If you're tired, you can remember what you're supposed to do, but you forget the details. For instance, if you have to do some service, and you have to go to the store, so you go to the, you're on your way to the store, but then you can't remember where you put your car keys. Because the mind can't think of the details, the little things. So a function of intelligence is memory, then it's also, that way we can perform our service properly. So here Prabhupada explains, quoting the verse in Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? I'm sleepy, that's why I can't remember any verses. It's in the Bhagavad Gita 6:17. One who eats too much or sleeps too much, sleeps too little, doesn't eat enough, cannot perform the yoga system properly. Yoga shema bahami. No, that's not the one. Yoga nasta parantapa. What is that verse? I have to remember that verse. There's a Bhagavad Gita here. Okay. 6:17. Yukta hara viharasya yukta chetasya karmeshu yukta svapna vibodasya yoga bhagavati dukaha. He who is regulated in the habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practice of the yoga system. So regulation of the bodily needs allow for what we say successful practice of the yoga, the process of devotional service. That's why regulation is important. It's very important. You're all very fortunate to have a nice, wonderful temple. You can get up and regulate your activities every day. And that really helps to fix the mind and the intelligence in Krishna consciousness. And you can develop some really strong, determination through regulation. Determination becomes very strong and enduring. And we practice in developing our determination in Krishna consciousness. So that's important. Thank you. I'm new at this. That's good. So we see the importance of the intelligence. It has to be engaged and has to be used in the proper way. And Rupa Goswami gives a very important feature of the intelligence. He says the intelligence connects the soul with the Supreme Soul. Prabhupada said this movement is for people who have intelligence, because Maya is very strong, and Maya is very subtle, and Maya knows all your weaknesses. She knows all your weaknesses. She's like a wrestler, not like a wrestler, like a fighter. When you're in a ring with a fighter, if the fighter looks for your weak spots and he goes for those, he hits those because he knows you're vulnerable there. So Maya is like that. So unless we develop the strength of our intelligence and apply it correctly in a devotional service, it becomes easy to become victimized by Maya. But then that intelligence keeps the soul connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the proper execution of the yoga system. Of course, here regulating the bodily needs, but also understanding how to function in devotional service. What are the most important things in Krishna consciousness that really make a difference in our spiritual life? Of course, nothing is not important, but there are three things that are foundational in our success in Krishna consciousness. What is the most important thing? Every day, without fail, on beads, with as much concentration and which as much enthusiasm, you can't chant your 16 rounds. That is the foundation for all your success in Krishna. That is the basis of everything. When you have good japa, or regular japa, and you're enthusiastic about your japa, and you're trying to create a better quality in your japa, that leads to enthusiastic in your service, clear mind in your engagement in your devotional service, and also gives you strength to withstand the attacks of Maya. So using our intelligence means to apply that intelligence in executing devotional service in the most important way. So we use our intelligence to chant nicely. Sometimes I go to temples, devotees are not serious about japa. Or they use their japa pier for other things. Of course, devotees have services. That's important. That can. But even if you have service, you should always have a time when you can chant your japa nicely, without disturbance, without distraction. Pretty much, that's the most important. And even if it's difficult, don't worry about it. Krishna sees your determination in executing your process. Not so much how easy or difficult it is, but how determined you are is what Krishna looks for. Your enthusiasm. So we use our intelligence to see what is also another thing that is important, developing Vaishnava relationships, developing proper relationships with devotees in a mood of service, in a mood of friendship, in a mood of surrender, creating an environment where devotees can work together and assist each other nicely in Krishna consciousness, performing our services according to how best we serve, but at the same time cooperating with other devotees and assisting them in their service. That's a very important part of Krishna consciousness. That's foundational also. Another thing that is in foundation, Prabhupada said, we have to read these books. We have to study these books. We have to know these books. We have to apply these books. And Prabhupada was in Mayapur in 1976. He was giving a class and he was speaking about book distribution. But then he started to take issue with his devotees and saying, you're out there distributing my books, but when they ask you what's in the books, you say, well, my spiritual master, he writes and we distribute. That's all. Now, Prabhupada said, you must read these books. When people ask you, and you can preach, you can explain, and you can also, you know, keep your intelligence fixed on the philosophical understanding of Krishna consciousness. So we have to read these books also. There are so many benefits in reading the books, and there are so many downsides by not reading these books. Maya just has a field day if we don't read these books. She just bewilders our intelligence. And we can also preach to each other by speaking the philosophy, speaking the pastimes, remembering verses. These are all the ways to keep the mind fixed in Krishna consciousness. There's a whole wealth of knowledge that's in here. So that's also foundational. Hearing the going to Srimad Bhagavatam class, hearing the philosophy, repeating the philosophy, chanting the holy names, keeping good relationships with devotees. Like that, these are the important things in Krishna consciousness as far as the positive side is concerned. There's a negative side that's also very important, that is avoiding offenses. And also, we also have to know what are the offenses and how to avoid them. Because although we're practicing the positive, if we're committing offenses, then that waters down the strength of the positive engagement. It takes away from our advancement that we do from hearing and chanting. So we have to learn the offenses, especially the 10 offenses to the holy name. Try to avoid them. Offenses in devotional services, and especially offenses to Vaishnavas. All these things should be carefully understood. And that way, these are foundational. So the intelligence can be applied specifically in all aspects of our Krishna consciousness, but in these areas are very important. Prabhupada emphasized these things. Chant the holy names of the Lord. Read my books. You know, work together to cooperate, to push on this movement. And most and also avoid the offenses. Like that. Follow the regulative principles. So in order to do that, the intelligence has to be sharp. Intelligence has to be sharp. Because Maya, again, she knows exactly where you're weak. And as soon as you see Maya coming, you say, oh, here comes Maya, right? You can see Maya sometimes. She comes in different ways. Then you guard yourself in that area. So you remember Krishna. You protect yourself by not becoming victimized by Maya's attractions or distraction. But then, as soon as she sees that you're intelligent enough to guard yourself, she comes from another way. Just to, you know, attack you from another side. Maya's Krishna's agent to strengthen our Krishna consciousness. If you get attacked, then you fight harder. If there's no attack, then you just relax, and then Maya just takes you away, you know. Can't even see her. So the point is that intelligence is a very big part in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes devotees say, well, I'm not very intelligent. But that doesn't matter. Whether you have good brain power or intellectual, you know, prowess, or you don't, you take the intelligence that comes from the spiritual master, you take the intelligence that comes from scripture. That is called Shastra Chakshus. Chakshus means to see, and Shastra means to scripture. To see through the eyes of scripture, not through our material, mundane vision, which sees things according to, in our conditioned nature. We see the world according to our conditioned nature. But as we purify our consciousness, the world changes. It's not that the world changes, but our consciousness changes, and the perception of reality also changes. Until you actually come to the point of Krishna consciousness, then when you see everything in relationship to Krishna, and you see everything within Krishna, and Krishna within everything. So, therefore, we have to apply the principles in our spiritual life in order to overcome what is called, when we say ignorance, we apply the principles. For instance, I see another devotee, but what do I see? Do I see their body, or do I see actually that's Krishna's servant? I see the murti of the spiritual master, but is it just a statue, but is it actually Prabhupada sitting there? So we see our vision is limited by our consciousness. When we actually apply the principles, then we... Bhaktivedanta Maharaj writes about this in his recent book, that we have to apply the principle of the absolute nature within our conditional realm. And that way, by acting in that way, we develop the consciousness and at the same time apply and engage in devotional service, which purifies the heart. But if we just let our mind and senses drag us to whatever, you know, the mind and senses wants to drag us to, and we're not careful and we see everything according to our mundane vision, then it's very difficult to actually purify the consciousness. So therefore the intelligence has to be applied. Prabhupada did say this movement is for intelligent class of people, not for fools. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Who was Arjuna? He was intelligent. He was a highly intelligent personality. He was respected. He was a warrior. He had all good qualities. It's not like he spoke to some ignorant fool who didn't know anything. Like, you know, I don't want to criticize any other scriptures, but sometimes we see in some other scriptures people are, you know, they became great saints, but they had no qualifications in the beginning. They just were just ignorant, and just somehow, you know, the Lord gave his full mercy, and they became very pious and very religious. Arjuna was very intelligent. In fact, he asked the most intelligent questions, and Krishna answered his questions so perfectly that he said, "Now my doubt is destroyed. Now I'm surrendered unto you. Now I'm willing to fight, you know, on your behalf. I'm willing to engage in your devotional service." So that's the ability, that's the quality of the intelligence. The intelligence convinces the living being from all angles that ultimately devotional service is the ultimate principle of existence. We can become convinced simply by hearing and accepting, but we can actually hear and accept and then apply and develop our intelligence and accept by our intelligence. One who accepts this process by their intelligence, they're fixed. Even if Maya attacks them, even if Maya knocks them down, even if Maya somehow makes them fall down, by their intelligence they'll get back up again and they'll start fighting again. But sometimes, you know, when our intelligence is weak, we fall down and it's hard to get back up. So intelligence is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, of course, if one of the ways to develop intelligence is to hear. We should hear regularly. Hear the words of the spiritual master, hear the words of the Lord. Read these books. I'm speaking to myself because I'm not reading so much lately. I'm trying to encourage myself to read more. But reading is so important. Studying is so important. These temples are meant to help us to come together and discuss these different points. We have classes in the morning. We have classes in the evening. We can also have classes during the day, too, depending. So, this is very important. Jai Shri Shri Gaurdutai Ki. They're not coming. They are coming. Okay. Many balls, you see, going to Tai Ki Tai. Okay, so this is a very important section that describes the different features of the intelligence also. And when intelligence is sharp, memory is also sharp. And the most important part of memory is to always remember Krishna. That's what the real feature of memory is, to try to remember Krishna as much as possible. Sometimes we even, if our intelligence is weak, we forget to remember. Does that make sense? Yeah, we forget to remember. Oh, I'm supposed to remember Krishna. Oh, I forgot that I was supposed to remember Krishna. Right? But if your intelligence is strong, you remember, oh yes, I'm supposed to remember Krishna as much as possible. All the time, actually. So this is, intelligence is a very important part of devotional service. Lord Brahma, he's the creator of the universe. He has a body made of pure intelligence. And by his big brain, he can create the entire universal, the features within the universe. Krishna creates the universe. He takes the ingredients and reassembles it and makes all the permutations and all the forms within the universe. So you can imagine the brain of Lord Brahma. Great intelligence. He has four heads. A lot of intelligence. A lot of work to do. Okay, so we should always be, and we should execute our devotional service in that way. Sometimes someone would ask Prabhupada a question, maybe a practical question. Prabhupada would say, use your intelligence. Prabhupada wanted us to teach us. He wanted to teach us not just to tell us everything. Do this, do that, do this, do that. But he wants to teach you how to think, how to serve, how to use your intelligence in applying, you know, the principles of devotional service. And that way, in whatever situation we're in, you know, then we can somehow or other see the situation, analyze the situation, and say how best to serve in this situation by applying the principles of intelligence. Okay. So I didn't want to speak too long today, but is there any questions, comments? Anyone? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, good.
This information, Lord Brahma has a body made from intelligence. I can't remember the time in this teaching that you can make a source.
I heard that many, many years ago when I first joined, at least 30 years ago. And I haven't seen it written either, but it was a statement that was quite popular then. When we were explaining, you know, talking about the different demigods. Now, I heard that during the time when Prabhupada was on the planet. So it may have come from Prabhupada. Somebody could have heard it from... Prabhupada said certain things in his lectures that are not mentioned in his books. There are points in his lectures that Prabhupada has given and that devotees have repeated and have become what we say accepted as, you know, authority because... And that's actually a form of authority. Prabhupada also says that. And that... He says... there's an interesting statement by Prabhupada. He's talking about the mind. And he says, never trust your mind. In one lecture he says that, never trust your mind. Always mistrust. Where it is written, it is not written. But it is current. The acharyas are saying that, it is current. So the acharyas have said that. And so therefore it is not written in scripture, but it's current amongst the acharya's words. Therefore it can be accepted as authority. And that's another form of authority. The realization of the great souls. You not always find it written somewhere. Yeah. Well, in those days, back in those days, from the beginning of the movement, we heard a lot of things from Prabhupada that weren't written. Like, I can tell you one thing that came from Prabhupada. He said, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, the worst one out of this is oversleeping. You know, we used to think, I'm mating. Prabhupada said, oversleeping is the worst. And he gave two reasons why. This was in 1974. He shocked the whole ISKCON society with that. He said, first of all, it wastes his time. And you only have so much time. Life is so many breaths. So if you're oversleeping, you're wasting your valuable form of life. And the second thing he says, too much sleep, it makes the mind and senses also too much attached to the external. One starts to look towards sense gratification due to excessive amounts of sleep. So it was Prabhupada's explanation. I remember that. So that's not written, but he said it. Another thing, the devotees were chanting, Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Prabhupada said, what's this bhaja? He said, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Now when Prabhupada first started in the morning, he was moving, he was chanting bhaja. And then at one point he changed because the devotees were going bhaja, 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 bhaja. Prabhupada didn't like that, so he said, no more bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Like that. So he stopped that. So, you know, that becomes ISKCON law because it's given by the Acharya, although it's not written. So there are many things. You can go down the list. So I didn't hear about that from Prabhupada directly. I heard from one of Prabhupada's, you know, sannyasis. So, but if you really want to find out, you can ask Lord Brahma.
Maybe it is easy.
Might be. Another question you have?
Just I have experience when I don't sleep or when my body is not working properly.
Yeah.
But also when I was oversleep,
yeah.
And also doubt.
Yeah. 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 So, too much. Not too much, not too little. Not too little eating, not too little sleeping, not too much eating, not too much sleeping. Because what happens is too little makes, you know, the mind becomes anxious and then it can't function properly. It starts looking around towards different sense objects if you're not getting enough. And if you too much, then the mind has a tendency not to focus. If it's too much, it's hard to focus. Yeah, but material intelligence, when it's applied in Krishna consciousness, can do wonderful service, and also can help one, you know, advance in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says all material qualities are like zeros, but if you put Krishna in front, then each of the zeros multiplies the number by 10. So what makes your material qualities beneficial is that if you're Krishna conscious. So if you have good material intelligence and you use it for Krishna's service, that's a great asset. But simply having material intelligence doesn't mean you're going to be Krishna conscious. In fact, sometimes material intelligence makes one proud. Oh, I can do this service. That person, I'm better than these other devotees because I can do this service. And you become proud, and when you become proud, then Krishna just rejects you. Then what is the value of your material intelligence? So your spiritual intelligence means to understand your position. That's real spiritual intelligence. Material intelligence doesn't help you understand your position. Your position is Jivasarubhai Nichika, I'm eternal servant of Krishna. And my, just like we were singing this morning, in the Guru Vandanam prayers. Chakshudan Diloye Janmi Janmi Prabhupada say Dibya Gyan Vidhi Prakasita. So the spiritual master gives you Dibya Gyan. So what is that Dibya Gyan? He gives you transcendental knowledge, but what is that? You wonder, Prabhupada explains that Dibya Gyan is that you are Krishna's eternal servant. So if you apply your spiritual intelligence to understand, I'm eternally Krishna's servant, I'm not this body. That's spiritual intelligence. Material intelligence is that, you know, you have so many good qualities and you can do so many nice things. But you may not be humble, you may start becoming proud, or you may start seeing that your success in your Krishna consciousness is simply by doing good things and not simply surrendering to Krishna, or what we say, becoming humble, becoming tolerant like that. Because if you have a lot of good material intelligence, it is dangerous, because you can think that that is what makes you Krishna conscious. It's an asset, but if it doesn't bring you to understanding your position, then it's not, and then it works the other way. I'll give you an example. You want to hear a funny story? I was preaching in one place in America. We had a preaching center, so we were inviting guests to come over. And we would have programs 5 nights a week, when the guests would come. So one very intellectual man, he was a professor at a university, he had a big brain, super brain, you know. And he spoke very, you know, aristocratically, spoke very nicely. When he would formulate a question, he would use all kinds of big words. But he was also very, respectful. He was polite. And we would answer his questions, and he couldn't understand our answers, because he would come up with another question based on our answer, and we would go back, and we just like, couldn't figure. You know, we give him an answer, and he'd try to figure out the answer. Rather than accept it, he'd just try to figure it out from his, you know, his big brain experience, you know. So we figured, okay, what are we going to do? This guy is a nice guy, but he can't understand anything because he's got too much brain power. So we decided to give him some service to do. So we wanted to make a garden for the deities in the backyard. So then we'll give him that service. And we found that he knew gardening. So, okay. So the next day, he was out there doing the garden. And he worked the whole day, just making the garden. That night he came in for the class. He was so excited. He said, oh, this is so great. I was so happy. This is so wonderful. Now I understand what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna gave him a lot of mercy. Mm-hmm. You know, he just made this garden. He was feeling so happy, you know. So the next day, you know, but the problem was he was figuring out, now this is Krishna consciousness. I just have to go out there tomorrow and do the same thing, and I'll get the same experience. So that was his intellect came in. So he was out there doing the same thing again, but Krishna didn't give him the mercy the next day. He was doing the same thing. He came back and he was totally bewildered the next night. He didn't know what to say. Because he was trying to analyze from his intellectual perspective, you know, how to understand Krishna consciousness. So I do tell him, you can analyze up to a point, but then after a while you have to accept and just surrender. And then when you accept and surrender, then you can understand things. So analyzation is there to get you to serve, to get you to surrender. But once you do that, then Krishna, when Krishna's pleased with your service, he gives you the mercy. And Krishna's not pleased, then, you know, you can have the biggest brain in the world and nothing happens. So it's all based on, you know, surrender. So you use your intelligence to surrender. Use your intelligence to serve in the nicest way possible, to please Krishna, to please the Lord, and please the Lord's devotees. Any other questions? It's quiet. Yes. Huh? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It is written. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. But this is a lecture from Prabhupada. So that's what Prabhupada said. I'm sorry. But Prabhupada made a point in that statement that some things, you know, we accept based on the authorities, on their realizations. And I can tell you the tape too. Prabhupada speaking on the same section practically, Jadbarat. It's the fifth canto, sixth chapter. No, it's the chapter after the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. The next chapter, fifth canto, sixth chapter, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. They're all on the mind. Those four verses. And in verse 3, Prabhupada is giving a lecture on that verse. So if you can find fifth canto, sixth chapter, verse number 3, Prabhupada gave a Srimad Bhagavatam. He speaks about that. Exactly what I said. So if you want to confirm, it's there. Okay, yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Right. Illusion. Yeah. Illusion is I am this body. And Shishupal was envy. Tantravarga was anger. What's the word? I'm sorry. Madness. Yeah, madness is also another form of illusion. Illusion and madness are practically... Oh, no. Madness is pride. Prabhupada said that madness is pride. Prabhupada was talking in one lecture. He said, madness, pride. Yeah, madness. I mean, a person is mad if they think there's something other than what they are. Just like Prabhupada gave in the old days of Krishna consciousness, people in general, when they would see us in our dhotis walking on the streets, they would say, these people are crazy. That's the initial reaction in America. People are crazy. So Prabhupada was hearing that a lot. So he wrote an article, Who is Crazy? You say we are crazy, and we say you are crazy. So let's analyze. So crazy means you don't know who you are. If you don't know who you are, that's a symptom of insanity. You think you're this body, therefore you're crazy. Some people are proud of their body, so that is not only crazy, that's madness. One step up from crazy. proud of something that you're not. Okay, so thank you. Very happy to be here. This temple room, look, it's really a nice temple. It's a very wonderful project. It's developing nicely. Keep going. And this whole area can be so, you can make a beautiful, beautiful temple, beautiful, beautiful surroundings. People come from all over just to see the temple. Structure is first class. That corridor, everything is about it's nice. Keep going, finish it up. That'll be a really a powerful form of preaching. Just this temple is complete. People will come to see it. Devotees are coming now just to see it. Wonderful, wonderful project. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.